Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, so I will call this to order in our role as Drainage District Trustees on this Tuesday, May 30th, 2017. Ask Scott, take us through why we're here in our capacity as Drainage District Trustees.
I'll be the primary reason we're here, so levy several of our districts for fund imbalances caused by just normal wear and tear on the districts and repairs done by secondary roads. We also have a district project, an improvement Richland 20, that we need to levy for. It's going to be wrapping up in the next month, I hope. Sounds like they're well on track for that. Prior to that, we have a gas line that is crossing the condition Richland 20. It was exposed when they started the improvement project. It's become more exposed because of the ditch clean out and that. Bank signalization, clean brushing. We got a high pressure gas line that is suspended over the district apparently, and Northern Natural Gas, the owner, would like to be able to reroute that under the district. So that's the first item on the agenda. We have an application for construction. Talked to Ethan Anderson at the county attorney's office. He doesn't feel we need anything to elaborate since this is an existing facility. They just want to get underground so it's not in danger of breakage or damage or what have you.
So we need to give them permission to go under
the
tiles.
Yes, and so that would be, I believe, this is the second document in your staff. This is the application construction of a natural gas pipeline over across or beneath county drainage districts. If the trustees approve that, then we would sign it in duplicate, send it to them, they'd sign it, return a copy to us, and they could go ahead and reroute that. Yes.
Okay. Darren, anything to add to this? Okay. Questions?
Pretty straightforward.
I agree. None.
All right. So then I take a motion on item number one.
I would move approval of the proposed relocation of existing Northern Gas natural pipeline.
I would second.
Motion and a second. Discussion?
Aye.
Chief?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. So, permission granted there. Two, consider levies. Tell us about the levies.
Okay. Item number two, again, a reversal on 20. So, already said earlier, we are nearing the end of the improvement project there with the culvert under the railroad, cleaning out both east and west open ditches and the main open ditch, rerouting the west open ditch to get it away from the road right away. It's been a fairly extensive project, largely to dealing with the railroad. During their completion, my understanding from Kent, when I talked to him last week, is that there's a head wall that needs to be installed just west of the railroad. That's where the tile outlets into the, they've got a pool that the tile outlet into before the water goes through the culvert.
Big concrete box, right?
Yes.
That they got
that drop box.
Yeah. The ground was turned wet enough that when they tried to work there and put something in place, it just started sinking, and the equipment is sinking as well. So we're going to have to wait on that until things dry out.
So I went out there Saturday morning, and it looks like really, really good work on the east side of the railroad tracks, and then, as you're stating, completely unfinished on the west side of the railroad tracks. A couple of questions that I had about things there. And they're probably more for you, but the dirt work that they've done out there in terms of all the shaping, is that the way it's going to stay? That's the first one. You feel like they're done on the east side of the tracks?
Looked pretty good last time I was out there, yeah.
What are they doing about their access? So it looks to me like they've got some hard, hard packed ground, basically on Lounsbury's property. Are they going in to rip that up? Are we responsible to rip it up, or is he just out of luck?
I'd have to check on that with ISP, see if they've worked something out. If not, I would think, yeah, we at least rip it up with something. Maybe we get Joe's help or something. He's got some farm equipment. This or something he can do.
Yeah, I think it's more packed now. So I drove back in there with Ray Lounsbury on Saturday morning, and it is really, really packed now. And he's very complimentary of the project, but he's very concerned that it looks like they're pulling all their equipment out and they're leaving this area that trucks and heavy equipment have been running back and forth on. And he said, I don't have the equipment to turn this soil over. I believe it should be the Drainage District Trust, the Drainage District responsibility to put it back as close to what it was.
Let me take a look at it. sometimes contractors have side agreements where maybe they work it out, but apparently the landlord doesn't know about it, so...
Yeah, but maybe his tenant knows about it. I'm just asking if it's okay with trustees that you dig into it a little bit and make sure that we're going to get that thing right. And then the final piece of all of that is looking at it. Apparently he's got, and I'm talking about Lounsbury when I say he, a couple of concrete dips that allow water to flow out of the field into what I think is where the east open ditch starts. Right there, right, which I assume all that tile and everything comes from Fernald. But it looks like at least one corner of those concrete things has really been damaged from the heavy equipment that's been going across there. And I think it's our responsibility to get in and figure out if there is damage, and if it's damaged, was it a result of that heavy equipment?
That may have been put in by the tower company to get access to that.
No, I'm not clear on who did what. I think that tower is going away. As I understand it, a new tower is coming in way to the east of there, and that tower is going away.
Okay, I'll check on that too.
Okay. Board, anything else on 20 that you guys want to talk about?
We're going to be done with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's still substantial work to be done there on the east side of the track, but the water's flowing really, really strong. It actually looks like a really, really good project. I got one more I wanted to understand. So on the east ditch, and this isn't a big deal, but I'd just like to understand what the thought process is here. So on the east open ditch, right where it opens, they put in riprap and then probably a 20-foot swath of nothing, and then more riprap, and it just doesn't look right. So if you're going to have 50 feet of riprap, why would you have a 20-foot area that doesn't have any? There's no tiles that I can see feet in. So what I'm asking, Darren, is if you wouldn't mind slipping out there and just taking a look at those things. That's right by the concrete swales that I'm telling you about.
That last time I was out there, I'll take a look at that. Sound that.
I couldn't figure out why it was there, and so I'm just curious.
On the sidebar issue, last was that Tuesday we went out to Fernald. They, in the community itself, as the east pipe goes right down, was at Winchester?
Yeah.
They have got standing water issues on the south side of town, and they were imploring Darren if there wasn't any way that we could, they wanted to access that pipe, would that be a good...
Yeah.
Paraphrasing what you heard.
Part of it is we've had a lot of 7-inch rains the past few years.
And I get that. And I think they even understand it as much. Because on the breakouts, you heard this as well. It only happens when you get really big rains. But
you've had, you know, fairly wet spring. And I've been through there many times. And I don't see water sitting anywhere. It takes a pretty heavy rain to do that. But when it does, I mean, they're in the district. The people on the west end of there, and they're the ones that get the issues up against the railroad. I mean, they could tile up into privately up into the district tile. That's what the district tile's there for them to put a private tile into to bring the property. So that's one option. But I just think it's one of those issues that it's really only an issue we get that it's 5 to 7 inch rain in pretty rare.
Well, but it's our responsibility to make sure that district facilities are operating appropriately. If they are, I don't think it's our responsibility to get private landowners water from their property to the district top.
No, the only thing we need to do at the south end of town is put that solid piece of pipe in so the treatments don't clog it every 2 to 3 years. We jetted out just this past year, so it's clean for a while. And then the John Hunter issue, if he wants to drain that wet spot over to the district tile because it was annexed in by me, that's not a district responsibility, so I'll bring that to the board at some point and discuss options and how we want to pay for that, because that would be a private responsibility coming down the county gravel with that ditch.
But now that it's in the district, we can at least tie onto the tile if we choose to.
He can run his own private tile.
Yeah, that's
if it's his private property.
That didn't come out. But the thing is, I think that that's an option going forward because of the annexation or the redistricting that we're proposing here allows that to be the case. Now that it wasn't.
Fourth minutes of a county road. That'd be another option. We could vacate that road, and then it'd be his responsibility. But that would make it more stressful.
No. But it was just one of those things that came out. I mean, it was a very cordial, well-attended meeting, but that was one of the things. Darren did have a great, an oversized role in that meeting, in the sense that, you know, as these rain events happen with increased frequency, people are seeing their basements made wet more often, and they're just looking for, is there anything? They know that the county main tile, the east main tile, goes right under that road, and they're just like, well, can we access that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The part of the conversation that wasn't had was, well, yes, you can at your expense now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but that would be the follow-up, because, I mean, I believe Jerry and his office are proposing a 30- to 60-day follow-up on all the information that was taken out of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had the suggestions ranging from the fact that I did a new 911 placard to drainage and whatnot. So it was just one of the things that involved Richland 20, so I just thought you guys mm-hmm. would want to know.
Absolutely.
That.
Thanks.
Well, one little kind of came up that meeting, too, bringing you aware of another situation in 20. Just south of town, about a quarter mile, through the hole in the field, right in the middle of the field, there's a district tile that crosses the river. It's clogged with some tree roots. So, but, you know, with the new railroad, we kind of figured out who's responsible now for a tile and who's responsible for a culvert. We've always kind of assumed the railroad was responsible for tile crossing, but now we know we're not. They're not. So they changed their procedures. We used to be able to talk with our maintenance guys, and they would actually jet under the railroad themselves to get it cleared. They no longer do that. So not only do they not allow us to do it right away, they require a permit to even have our person go in and jet.
Mm-hmm.
So talking with Scott and the county attorney right now, we've had a hole in this field for about a month. And we haven't submitted a permit to the railroad yet. That's a $550 permit or something like that. That's just to get them to look at it. I'm not even sure what they're going to tell us after that point. But so one, we have to figure out how we're going to submit those permit fees because the district has a zero balance right now. Somebody's got to pay that $500 up front. Secondly, the person doing the jetting is always nervous because if they get stuck, in the railroad right away, we'll have to work with the railroad on digging it up. If they get stuck under the railroad itself, the railroad says, you're just out of luck. You got to cut your head off and you lose it. That's a $1,000 head. So they're very nervous. They don't even want to do it. So it was a much better situation before the railroad would do it for us. So we're kind of in the middle on that one, but we need to get that hole. It's not even the person with the wet fields upstream. That's the person downstream that we've got the hole in to jet back up. So they're kind of getting damaged at this point with the hole in the field.
So can we nicely say to the railroad that they either need to work with us on getting that thing jetted, or we need to consider putting in a culvert?
Yeah. We've sent it to Ethan for his review, but that's maybe one of the options we're talking about.
I'm facetious.
More
than
serious. Fairly deep.
Yeah.
It's 7-8 feet. The hole we got now, so, and we dug it back, so thirdly. Stuff into it. It's a pretty good size hole now. So put a culvert in it, it'd be pretty deep one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was more of a joke than anything else, but just that it might be in the railroad's best interest to help us keep our tiles maintained.
The other issue is all kinds of trees that are causing problems in the railroad right away, and that apparently no longer we've worked them in the past to kind of get those cut out. Now they don't want us in there at all. So it's a mess. But we'll.
So do we have perforated tile running under the railroad? How are the roots getting in there?
Well, it's mainly the clay tile. They're only that long, so all those joints.
It gets in. Can we sleeve that tile with steel? Can we do something?
There's some new technologies. There's one actually in county that promotes just new sealing all those joints.
Just so that you don't deal with, you still got to jet it now to get rid of what's there, but then you should be able to do something so that you're not having to worry about those roots coming back in that area.
Yeah, I believe that one is a 10-inch, 8 or 10-inch tile most of there. It's not a real thing. But
we did something like that in Collins a number of years ago. That was a larger tile. That was the main tile.
So for the time being, there's no funds in DD20 to pay.
Correct.
So we need to keep the ball rolling, so we'll probably just pay the fee, secondary roads, to get that ball rolling anyway, and get reimbursed by the district.
I put a note on the agenda. I mentioned briefly before we convened and just before we came in.
Right.
That was an issue.
Add this to this.
We could levy it if we posted it after this meeting. We might get it tomorrow because we have 24 hours notice. But if you don't feel ready to say an amount.
We gave you an amount of 500.
$1,500. Yeah. So we levy the recommendation is 3,000. So 30% levy is $10,000 original assessment on that. That's right.
Right, but it seems to be until we know.
We're not ready to.
So the permit is a big deal because we can't do anything until we get the permit. So it sounds to me like whether Darren's out of your budget or we need to find it somewhere else in the county budget, the county needs to front that $550 application fee just to start it. And then, so what I don't want us to get into, if we can all help it, is. Multiple. Let's figure out what we actually need so we can levy it one more time. We're making these people in 20s head spin.
If it ends up being levied next year and those interest accrue, it's probably still a lot more desirable than levying it now and then
right.
Levy it again because we didn't levy it now.
Correct.
Okay.
I like that path. I do, for the fact that it's just like we, if there's a means for us to front the money and in turn it back as a levy, let's do that. But we need to get started. Obviously, you know, you gave a compelling case why we need to be doing this.
Well, so we get to draw. We draw what 6% interest on this, right? So you front it, and we're drawing 6% interest out of the deal. So the taxpayers are taken care of on this deal. Good.
So that doesn't need to be here for tomorrow. Just what you've written down, then, right, Scott?
Yeah. Well, it's no different. So Darren, I don't view this as any different than you going in. And dealing with any other issue we have in one of our, you absorb the upfront cost and then the district pays you. Hopefully, we have money in most of our districts, but it pays you when it's able.
Yeah, and we even get contracted at times when funds aren't in the district funds. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is exactly what's happening with these districts that are on the edge and back.
Okay.
Or three.
All right. So anything else with 20 before we move on, and do we need to take any action on 20?
Well, we're turning item 2 over ready for that, which
yes.
Is 20, the actual levy process.
Okay.
Just a brief note about where the numbers came from, because what ISG prepared for us in Marshall's 31, they prepared a special assessment schedule for that project. Here they did not do that. They just give them the assessment schedules for each separate portion of the district. So this is broken up among the main open ditch, the east open ditch, and the west open ditch. The way that breakdown came, that came from ISG, they recommended levy amounts to me about a week ago. I got that from Ken from Tyler there too. And so that's where the numbers come from, that we're levying 100% of Richland 20 of the west open ditch, 81% of the east open ditch, and 113% of the west open ditch. And you add those numbers together, you get the total amount of the project plus the overage that you need to keep in there, just in case you get those charges, which are an estimate by Lisa Markley, but as an estimate, so you want to make sure we have enough for a little off, we're not doing it again in a year.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Part of the levy on this one should be allowing people to spread their payments. Whatever we want to do, has to be between 10 and 20 years. That's the 6%.
And trustees, where we have been as trustees is 10 years.
Yes, that's what we did.
We're able to go to 20, up to 20, if we so choose. Interest rate is already set, or we need to set the interest rate as part of this?
6%.
Yeah, unless we decide to change.
Right, you can put that in motion just to reinforce that that is the interest rate.
But if we did put that in the motion, it is 6%.
Yes.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of what else. This all includes, so when we had the big public meeting, there were some properties on the northwest side that were excluded. Now these are included.
They've been recharged for subsurface top drainage. They can't service the utilities.
because of the road, but until they tell us that they're not subsurface draining, since they're in the district, we're assuming they are.
And the new assessment schedule that I actually submitted May 10th, I believe. The board meeting until May 11th. On May 10th, I got a new assessment schedule reported to you. Those properties are included. Kent told me that he did contact those owners and got a response.
Okay. Which I take as affirmation.
Yes.
Because if you weren't draining, you'd tell us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we need to consider this, and part of the consideration needs to set a time frame.
For people who wish for their payments.
It's got to be more than a $500 assessment.
$500 per parcel. So if you have a $600 assessment and a $400 assessment, you can only spread the $600 assessment. Because it's spread on your per parcel basis, it's not on your entire bill.
Okay.
That's in the code. You don't need to make that part of the motion to say spread payments on anything over $500.
Okay. Question board. This is new for us.
Can you just confirm what's the total amount again?
The total amount is being levied against the district. It's $415,000.
Okay.
That's all three open ditches combined.
And we don't have to split that out?
No.
Okay.
All right. Well, but
you just move, because this will be part of the minutes.
All right.
That you can just say that it's recommended by the drainage clerk, and if you want to include ISG and ASO, you can do that as well. Mm-hmm.
And do we know what the railroad paid for the culvert all in?
They agreed to pay $330,700.
So this is a $700,000 project all said and done.
Yes.
Thank you. So that's low. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Right. And so that we're clear, and I think the two of you absolutely get this, by making the decision to go from a tile to a culvert, we saved the property owners that $300,000 that they would have been responsible, they and we. Because we've got some property in the district. The railroad has been really, really good to deal with in this, which is outstanding.
Scott, if we do, say, a 15-year instead of a 10-year, and people choose to prepay it, there's no penalty for that?
Correct.
Okay.
There were some miscommunication on my part on the Marshall story. One, we told people that they spread their payments, with their charges on the first payment, that's not the case. We didn't charge them, but we should have, so it's not a full year's interest. So if somebody does spread their payments, they will pay interest on the first payment. It'll be minimal. It'll be for two or 3 months instead of a year.
Right.
And we did not tell people interest in point at any meeting that they wouldn't have to pay. We didn't even talk about spread payments, so that was an option.
When do they have to tell us that they choose the spread payment option?
Under the code, we have 30 days from the time they're received. Well, it's 30 days from the meeting. We call them 30 days from the time we mail the assessments out.
Okay. And so if they don't let us know that they want to spread the payments,
then it's September 30th.
But late, it's not late till spring. Is that right? Or do they have to pay it by September
30th? It'll be late by September 30th.
Okay.
Well, by October 1st.
By October 1st, okay.
So they have to pay on or before September 30th.
But they don't get to come in here on September 30th and say, oh, I've decided I want to take advantage of spreading out my payments.
Right. And typically we mail assessment notices on July 1st. So we want to know by 31st. If they want to spread their payments, they have to let us know in writing by that time.
By July 31st.
And I'll include that and note to that effect with their assessment.
Okay. Laura's already clear on
yes.
what this is?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're good? All right. So are we prepared to move ahead?
Sure. It seems to me it's the time limit that we want to do, right?
I guess, because we've been working on the 10-year. You had spoken to a 15-year.
Yeah.
We have up to a 20-year.
Right. I think I looked at splitting the difference for some of them are carrying other large balances, okay? If you're more comfortable, if you and Rick are more comfortable with a 10, I'll go that way. I think 15 is probably a little, I think I feel more fair. But Marty, did you want to go 20?
I think that you're pretty much there because some of these guys are in the era of $3 corn and $8 beans are holding a good amount of assessments on this. So I think that your heart's in the right place on a 15-year. Because we do give them the opportunity to front it and be done with it, or they can spread it. And because some of this is both owned and tenant arrangements. And the thing is, I'm sure that they're going to have a hard discussion with the tenant or the owner as the tenant on who and how the breakout's going to be. Because some people might be inclined to say, well, you're running the ground, any improvements yours? Or there might be a division of the expense. I mean, that's per whatever agreement and the individuals that are in the conversation. But I'm comfortable if you were to propose a 15-year.
Okay.
But just to be clear now, they also have the option of going to a local lender, or local or national lender.
Well, that's their decision to make. We are just not exactly doing that. And all we're doing is just saying, okay, knowing that there are some pretty hefty assessments in a low agricultural economy, we give you a little bit bigger window to push this through. They're smart operators. They know what they can do. They'll cancel it out, and then they'll have discussions as what suits them best.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is a motion, or what I'm hearing us moving toward a motion to adopt the schedules as presented by our drainage district clerk and ISG with a 15-year maximum time frame at 6% interest.
I think that is well worded, and so I move that. Okay.
I would second the wording.
Okay, moved by Olson, seconded by Chitty. Discussion.
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Third item, consider levies for repair in multiple districts. You want to take us through these?
There are 8 districts. There are 10 districts on the list. This is because I wanted to show all the districts that are in the red. 2 of those districts are Grant 5 and Milford 32. Grant 5, obviously, we're in the early stages of a major project there. Milford 32, we had a clean out 5 years ago around the 6th year of payments for those that chose to waiver in that project. And I think we've got maybe 10 landlords in that district that chose to waiver their payments. So there are 8 districts, Grant 13, Palestine 23, Warren 34, Howard 41, Howard 44, Colton Albany 9 and 48, Sherman 83, and Union 112. They are all, well, Grant 13 is an IRBM project. They had, I think, a tree service clean out the south half of that open ditch, I think, 3 years ago. They left the north half, which was a smaller brush that IRBM felt they could handle. They're now ready to tackle that. So that's the levy so that they can have funds available to do that in this next fiscal year. The other 7 districts are all just regular maintenance and performance secondary roads that exceed the amount that was available to the districts. So it all boils down to they're all repair projects that are being levied for, no improvements.
And just to make note here for the record, these amounts are all under, actually, I was going to say $10,000, but the biggest one is $8,506.42. So we're talking about small amounts being shared by the district owners on them.
Okay. And at the $8,000 in Albany 948, that includes the city of Cole, which is about $5 assessments.
Okay.
So it's a large amount of money, but very few people will pay very much of that. So there's so many landowners that pay $5 to $10 and it adds up to.
That's one of those that we're 0.5% away from being able to turn it over.
Yes,
right?
It's like 23% or something.
Okay.
25.
Okay, and go through Milford 32 one more time for me.
Milford 32, that's when we had Milford 32 and Warren 11. We had ditch clean outs on both of those. Warren 11 was shot down by landowners, but Milford 32 went forward. So that ditch was cleaned out. And several landowners have elected to spread their payments. That was a 10-year, 6%.
And that's why we show a negative balance there, but we're carrying the warrants, so we don't need to levy anything there.
Correct.
Okay. So that's an informational why you have that on here.
And Lisa Markley talked to the treasurer because he did have a request. IRBM has done some work in these districts that have a negative balance, and they're asking if they can get paid. The way the code reads is that the treasurer has to pay these off in the order they were received.
Absolutely.
So if anybody has extra money, it would go right to the contractor or to whoever's holding the warrants and not to IRBM. Maybe last month.
So any work that IRBM or Darren, Secondary Roads, does in this, we're just going to carry it.
Right, so there's no sense levying for it until we get to the 10th year.
Okay. Everybody good there?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do you need these motions one at a time?
No. In the past, we just don't blanket as recommended.
I would move consideration of these levies for repair against the drainage districts as listed.
I second.
Discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Let's see, we had a request, and is it appropriate to talk about our use of ISG, how we got there, and what our options are?
I don't know if we can take formal action.
Yeah, we can't take any formal action, but while we're in as trustees, at Lawrence, I think you had some questions about ISG. Knowing that we're not taking any action today, let's see what we can do to get some of those.
Before we go down this path, you've got this. Your hand this, we need to bring back and act upon it.
Right, and that's what Darren brought up when you were talking about Richmond 20.
Right, and we're going to need to formally, because if we didn't have it on the agenda today, we're going to have
it. No, we're going to carry it. We decided we're just going to carry it.
Yeah. Okay. We're not doing anything on next year.
So we're going to find you on it tomorrow. Or
so you can check that.
Done.
All right. So now.
Sure. I had just asked for some background from Scott Wall about how we ended up selecting ISG for some for projects we're working on now, Ridgeland 20 and Grant 5, and they did a couple others for us in the Story County in the past. And Scott provided information indicating how it happened, that we've just been using them right now. I'm just interested in this, and how do we select them and what to maybe at a later date consider before we assign any more projects to them. Do we want to look at doing request for proposals for other engineering firms?
Yeah, and so I would think that would be based on the next time we hear from a landowner saying, here's a problem, when it rises to the level that we need to do engineering, which is at what point now?
50,000.
At 50,000. So when we expect the project to be more than 50, then the trustees would consider whether to appoint an engineer. At this point, so you followed how we got to ISG. I've been really happy with ISG's work, but it's within the purview of the board of the trustees to do whatever we feel like doing as a proposal comes forward. I don't think there's a mechanism where we can say for the next project we get, this is where we're going.
Okay, and I appreciate that. As I said, I was looking for information for the future, and as the when the next one comes forward, at that point, then we can have a discussion.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm good.
Anything else with the trustees? Discussion point. Anything else with the trustees today?
No.
I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And we're adjourned.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So if you could check on. On Lounsbury's spot out there. It looks like they did.